Today, Shir's Masechet Nida on Daf Nun Zayin. We will begin seven lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis with the second Mishnah on the Amud. Begins the Mishnah: Kol Haksamim Hanimtzaim Bechol Makom Tahirim. All blood-stained garments which are found in any place. Rashi says this means B'Makom Yisrael, in a Jewish place. They are considered not to be dam nidus, and they are tohar. Chutz min hanimtzaim bechadorim, except for those that are found hidden in rooms, as Rashi says, mistame mid atznoi dam nidahu. Since they were hidden there, they are considered dam nida. And also, not only are those tame, but ubesvivois beis hatmeis, but around the chambers of Tuma. Rashi says that these were rooms where the women used to use these rooms when they were Anida, so that they should not come in contact with Taharis and be Metamed to Taharis. So if one found Ksamim in the base Hatmeis, they would be considered Dam Nida. Continues the Mishnah, Beis Hatmeis Shel Kusim Metamin Bo'oyel. The base Hatmeis of Kusim are Metamed Bo'oyel, because the kusim used to bury their stillborn children. And we know that there's a tumas oil. A nafel can give off tuma, and if someone comes under the same roof where a dead person or a nafel is buried, that would be tumas oil of tumas mace. The kusim, we have learned before, were brought to Eretz Yisrael by Sancheirev when the Aseres HaShvatim went into Golus. So the Kusim came to live in the areas where the Aseres HaShvatim used to live, and they became Geirim. There's a machloikus whether they were Geirei Emes or Geirei Aroyas. Did they convert with a true conviction to become Bnei Yisrael, or they just did it because they were afraid of the lions that were attacking them? And we find that they only were nizer in dine Torah, dinim midaraisa, and not dinim of the Rabbanim. They did not agree to the way Chazal interpreted the Torah. Now, our mission is telling us that since they used to bury their nephalim in the Beis HaTmeis, therefore the Beis HaTmeis of the Kusim are metame boil. If someone goes into those chambers, he would become tame with a tumas mace. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says lo yakarvim ella mashlichim. They used to throw the nephalim v'chayigarasay, and wild animals used to come and drag the nephalim away. And therefore, if one goes into the base hatmeyos of a kusi, if there is a nafel there, then in the chanami, the person became tummy. But you would see that. If you didn't see a nafel lying there, it means that the nephalim were dragged away by the wild animals, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that the person would not become tummy. And now the Mishnah concludes by listing when a kusi is believed and when he is not believed, concerning which halachas. Says the Mishnah, they are believed to say we buried a nafel in the Beis HaTmeis, or we did not bury a nafel there. As Rashi on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, second line on top, Divrei HaMaskil Nemanim Loimer Kavarnu, says Rashi, Dimidi D'Oraisahu Tumas HaMeis, since Tumas HaMeis is a Din D'Oraisa, and they are nizer in the din d'oraisa, therefore they are believed to say that they buried the fallen there. Also, nemonim loimer al behema im bichra im loy bichra. They're also believed to say on an animal whether this animal has already born an offspring, and therefore the present animal is not a bechor, or it has never had an offspring before, and therefore the present offspring is the bechor. Nemonim al tzion kvaris. They're also believed to tell us that these are the markings of kvarim, and wherever there's no markings, there is no mace, and a person would be allowed to be osek in taharis and not worry that there's a mace there, relying on the kusi who told them that where the markings are, that's where the mace is and nowhere else. However, when we get to Dinim Derabbanan, till now we were discussing Dinim Deraisa, that they're Nizirin, and therefore, since they're careful in these Dinim, they are believed. However, they're not believed in Dinim Derabbanan, which are not careful in. Ve'einem onim loy ala sichos, these are overhangings, veloy ala prois, and not in protrusions. Exactly what kind of tuma this is, we will see in the Gemara, but Rashi tells us that they are tamei midrabbanan misafek, and the kusim do not believe in sveikas, they do not believe in gzeiros derabbanan, and therefore they're not believed on these halachas of tuma. And also veloy al beis hapras, they're not believed on the tuma derabbanan of beis hapras. Beis hapras is a field in which there was a kever, and one plowed over the entire field. So midaraisa, we're not worried that the kever was disturbed, because we assume that the plow did not go low enough under the surface to come in contact with the kever. However, the Rabbanan were geyser. They were afraid that the bones in the kever were strewn all over the field, and they prohibited a area of the field 100 by 100 amos, that perhaps the plowing caused the bones to become fragmented and be strewn over this entire area, and therefore one who would touch it or move it, which would be Tumas Heset, he would become Tomei, because the shear for this is Etzem Kisa Oira, a fragment of a bone, even if it's the as big as a grain of barley, would be Metame through Maga, or through Tumas Hesed, and the Rabbanan were geyser on this area of 100 by 100 Amos. However, since it's only a Tumim of the Rabbanan, the Kustim were not Nizer in it, and therefore they are not Naman to say that this was the area of the Beis HaPras. Zehaklal, this is the rule. Davar Shechashudim Boy, Einem Onim Alav. Anything that the Kustim are suspected of, that they do not keep this halacha, they are not believed to tell us concerning that halacha. And now we begin the Gemara on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Aleph. Ask the Gemara, my droish, as Rashi explains. How are the kusim darshaning the Torah to have a source that you're not kover a nefel? And the Gemara answers, they darshan the following pasuk: Lo sasik vul re'echa asher gavlu rishonim benach lascha. The simple pshat of the pasuk is, do not move the gvul, the boundary of your friend, which was set by the earlier generations in your inheritance. In other words, if one has a neighbor, one should not move the boundary and give more land to himself than the neighbor, stealing from the neighbor. This is the simple pshat in the pasuk. However, Rashi on the second line on top brings the Sifri, that learns that this pasuk is actually speaking about an isser, a prohibition of selling a kivre avoisam, a family burial plot. So the word gvul, according to the Sifri, refers to a kever. That's the boundary of which the Torah is speaking about, a kever. And then the Torah concludes, b'nachloscha, so the kusim make a drasha. Kol she'eshle nachlo, anyone who gets an inheritance, yeshle gvul, he has a mitzvah to be buried. But kol she'eshle nachlo, whoever does not have an inheritance, and a nefel, does not have nachlo, ain't like gvul, he does not have a burial. And that's how the kusim darshan, this pasuk, that a nefel would not have Kvura. From our sugi is mashma that this was the erroneous drush of the kusim. However, lahalacha, a nefel would have kvura. And on this, we find that in Orachayim, in Hilchas Yontif, Simon, Tov, Kuf, Chav, Vav, the Ramah writes that a nefel on Yontif is not buried. And the Magen Avraham explains the Ramah based on the Hagoyis Maimonides, that since there's no mitzvah to bury a nefel, therefore he is not buried on Yontif. And the Magen Avraham asks from our Gemara. From our Gemara we see that this was the erroneous position of the kusim. But in fact, a nafel does have to have kvura. I found in the Sefer Gesher HaChaim from Harav HaGoyim Rabbi Chil Michal Tukashinsky Zitzal in Chelik Aleph Perek Tezayin Gimel, where he speaks about the halachas of a nafel in Sif Aleph. So he brings Vizel Shaina, Gam nafel kovrim ba'adama. You also bury a nafel, a stillborn, in the ground. Va'av shenaktinin, she'ena mitzvah saseh dikfur b'nafel. And even though the halach is that there's no mitzvah saseh to bury a nafel, and v'chi al kain ein kovrim ba'adama, b'yantiv, as the Ramah paskins, that we do not bury a nafel on yantiv because there's no mitzvah, as the Agoyis Maimonides explained. Im kol zeh, if even so, we do bury a nafel because of the reasons that I mentioned earlier in the Gesher HaChaim. Imishum isarano, there's an isarano from the nafel. Oy michshash tuma, we're worried about him being metame. Oy mishum atchia, or because he will get chias hamesim, and for all these reasons he does get kvura, and he brings our Gemara, and he concludes, Chazinen shal koponim nikborin gam nefe'olim. We see from our Gemara that a nafel does have kvura. So it comes out that the Gesher HaChaim seems to be saying that although there's no mitzvah to bury him min ha-Torah, and that's why the Ramah paskin that we don't bury him on Yontiv, we wait till the next day. But since there are various reasons why even a nafel should receive kvura, as we find in our Gemara that it was only the kusim who said that a nafel does not get kvura, according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, so our halach is that a nafel does get kvura, although the Magen Avraham is correct, that there is no mitzvah to bury the nafel. But that does not mean, says the Gesher HaChaim, that the nafel does not receive kvura. We see from our Gemara that he does. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah stated, Nemonim loimer kavarnu, that the kusim are believed to say that we buried a nafel here, or here we did not bury a nafel. Ask the Gemara, even though they hold, as Rashi explains, of tuma, which is min haTorah, but v'holeslahu v'lifnei iver loisitei michshol, they do not darshan the pasuk of v'lifnei iver loisitei michshol the way Chazal darshan it. They learn the simple pshat: you're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of someone who is blind. But they don't learn, as Rashi explains on the fourth line, lo darshile b'machti es chaveroi. They do not learn the Torah here as giving a prohibition for someone to cause his friend to do an aveira. So einichanami, concerning themselves, their nizer in tumah, which is midaraisa, but that should not stop them in being machshel asin tumah. So how can we trust them for our halachas of tumah v'tahara? Amar Rav Avuah, so Rav Avuah answers, b'koyin oimetsham, it's speaking about, as Rashi says, a koyin kusi. A koyin kusi is standing there, so this indicates that there's no nafel buried. They're telling us there's no nafel here. We see a koyin kusi standing there, so this proves that there's no nafel there, or else the koyin kusi would not become tamik because he is nizer in the din d'oraisa. And that's the case where we can trust them. So the Tosfos Yontiv wants to know, since we learned that the kusim are geirim, how could you have a kusi who's a koyin? And the Tosfos Yontiv answers that based on a perik in Melachim Beis, perik Yudzayin Pasuk Chav Zayin, where we find that Melech Asher brought a Jewish koyin to teach the kusim the halachas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of what they should do in Eretz Yisrael. But unfortunately, the descendants of this Kayin, instead of being a role model for the Kusim, they assimilated with the Kusim and they became like Kusim. And therefore, you have a case of a Kayin Kusi. As the Gemara of Adilma Kayin Tomei, who ain't a Hanami, there's a Kayin Kusi standing there, but maybe this Kayin Kusi is Tomei. And he doesn't mind standing in a place where there is tumah. Maybe they're still being machshelas. Ask Tosfos on the top Tosfos Dilma Karn Tomei, who va'afal gav de Tomei nami osir lashes be basic forest. a Kohen, even if he's Tamei, he's not allowed to become more Tamei, as Tosis brings a Gemoras to prove this point. So, Memela, what's the Gemoras Kashi of a Dilma Kohen Tamei? If they're Nizdir from Dine Tuma, then the Kohen Tamei would not stay in a place of a Nafel if he's buried there. Tosis says at the end, the last line, Kusim leslu hanach memras, and the Bach changes memras to chumras. The Kusim don't hold of these chumras of a Kohen Tamei, that there's an Isser for him to become more Tamei. And therefore, what's your proof? Maybe ask the Gemara. Maybe there is a Kohen Kusi Tamei standing there, and there's no proof that there is no Nafel there because he doesn't mind becoming more Tamei. Answers the Gemara, the Naka Truma Biyade, that this Kohen is holding Truma in his hands, and we know that Min HaTorah there's an obligation to be shown Mer Truma that it doesn't become Tamei. As the Pasuk says, Vani Hine Nasati L'Chos Mishmeres Truma Soi, that you have to guard Truma that it doesn't become Tamei. So therefore, the Kohen couldn't have been a Kohen Tamei because he was holding Trum in his hands, and by holding it he would be making a Tamei, so that's a proof that the Kohen is not Tamei. Ask the Gemara, Vidilma Truma Tamei, maybe the Trum itself was Tamei, and maybe therefore the Kohen could be Tamei. The answers the Gemara, the Ka'ochol Mina, that the Kohen was eating from the Truma. And Rashi says that there is a Hazhara for a Tohar to eat Truma Tameya, and Koshchein for a Tamei to eat Truma Tameya. Rabbi Kiva Eger brings from a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis that it's only an Aseh and not, as Rashi says, an Azhor Elois Aseh. But be that as it may, there is a Din Min HaTorah that a Tamei Koyen or a Tor Koyen is not allowed to eat Truma Tameya. So, and here we see that the Kohen is eating, so that's a proof that the Truma must be Tohar. And if the Truma is Tohar, then the Kohen must be Tohar as well, or else he's being Oivran on Mishmeres Trumoisai, that he has to guard the Truma from not becoming Tamei. And if it's a place where the Nafel was buried, then he's Tamei because of the Nafel. So the fact that the Kohen is eating the Truma proves that the Truma is Tahara, the Kohen is Tahar, and that's why they're believed to tell us that there is no Nafel buried here. Ask the Gemara, Yehachi, Maile Memra. If that's the case, so what do you have to tell me this in the Mishnah? Pshita, they're proving that there's no Nafel here because we would have all the problems that we just mentioned if there was a Nafel here. So what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, no, I'm out of same. I would think Loi Bekiy B'Yetzirah. I would think that the Kusim are not Bekiyim in the development of the embryo. And even though we have a halacha that one is a Nafel Metamei, that's only if he's 40 days old. Because before 40 days, as Rashi brings down in Divrei HaMaskil Loi Bekiyi, then it's Maya Ba'alma. Before 40 days in the embryo's development, it's just considered plain water, and it's not metame. And I would think that they're not bekim, and they'll think that an embryo that actually was 40 days old is less than 40 days old. And that's why when they tell us there's no Nafel buried here, it could be that there is really a Nafel buried here, but he's 40 days old, which they thought was Maya Ba'alma, was water, and it was less than 40 days. And therefore, I would think I can't trust them because they don't have the proper knowledge, Kamash Malan, that we could trust them, that if they say there's no Nafel buried here, it means that nothing over 40 days is buried here. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the mission. And then al Behema, the Kusmar believes on a Behema to say whether it was previously Bichra or Loi Bichra. Did it have offspring before? In other words, if it had offspring before, then the animal that it presently gave birth to is not a Bechor. Ask the Gemara, the same question that the Gemara asked on the previous part of the Mishnah. Bechor is a din deraisa. That's for themselves. But here, if someone else, if we are to be samech on what they are telling us, that the present animal is not a Bechor, they do not darshan the pasuk lufnei iver concerning an isser to be machti your friend. they only learned the simple pshat, not to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. So how can we rely on them to say that this animal is not a bechor for our own purposes? It's speaking about that we see that the kusim are shearing this animal, and they're working with the animal, and there is a pasuk in Dvorim, Perek Tezvav, pasuk Yotes, loy savoid bevchor sharcha v'loy sagoiz bechor tzaynecha, that you should not do gizav avoida with a bechor. And since they hold of the Torah, they would not be doing gizav avoida if it really was a bechor. Ask the Gemara, is that what we're being saimachan? Yihachi ma'ala meimra. So what's the chiddush? Obviously, since they keep the dinim that are written in the Chumash, this proves that this animal is not a bechor. What's the chiddush? What's the nemonis? We're not believing them. We see that it's not a bechor. Now, the same I would think, loy biki betinov, I would think that they're not baki in the metzias of soiling kamash malon, as Rashi explains from the Gemara in Bechoris. Daf chafal from beis, that it's possible to have an animal give birth to tinuf, which Rashi says is mivatz betzes umaitzi adam, merely bubbly blood, and a person who's a baki can see in this bubbly blood coming from the rechem that this, in fact, is an aborted fetus. And if it's an aborted fetus, Rashi says that by a behema daka, it would pater this animal from a future bechorah. The first bubbly blood would be considered an aborted embryo, which would be considered the bechor, and the second child would not be the bechor. So I would think they're not baki. What is this soiling? They would think that there was a case here of tinuf, which would make the second birth not a bechor, and really they're wrong, they're not a baki in it, they're wrong, and the first one was not a case of tinuf, and it does not pater the second one, and the second one is a bechor. Kamash malon, that we can rely on them for expertise to know that the first one was a case of tinuf, and therefore it would pater this one is not a bechor. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. The kusim are neman to say that here are the markings of a kever, and in this area where there are no markings of a kever, there is no kever, and we can be Isaac and Taharis there and not be worried about Tumah. Ask the Gemara of Afgav de Rabbanan, who the whole Indian of markings for a kever is only mid Rabbanan. The Gemara answers, Kivin Dechsiva, since we do find a pasuk in Yecheskel, Mizr Zahiri Bey, they are careful in Dechsiv. The pasuk in Yecheskel concerning the aftermath of the Milchama of Goig u'Magog states, Ura'ei Etzem Adam, he will see a bone of a person from the defeated armies of Goig u'Magog, Ubana Etzlei Tzion, and he will build there a marking to indicate that this is a place where a bone is buried. Tosfos in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph points out that although there is no direct pasuk in the Torah that would make it a din deraisa, and Yecheskel is only divrei Kabbalah, is not considered a din deraisa, but in fact it's a halach l'maishu m'Sinai, but the kusim would not listen to halach l'maishu m'Sinai since it was transmitted through Chazal. Unless they would find a pasuk, as they did here in Yecheskel, they would not have obeyed this halach l'maishu m'Sinai, which makes it a deraisa. So that's what our Gemara means. Afal gav demid rabbanan, who, even though it was conveyed through the rabbanan, and there's no explicit pasuk in the Torah, they did keep it because of the pasuk in Yecheskel. Continues the Gemara to the next part of the Mishnah. Well, ein nemanim le'ela schachos, they are not believed on schachos. What are schachos? So the Gemara explains. Schachos desnan, we learned in a Mishnah in Olis, Perikhes Mishnah Beitz, Eluhin schachos, Ilon Hamescha Loretz. These are the overhangings, a tree that overhangs the earth. And Rashi explains that sometimes Bein HaShemashas, they would come for a Levaya and to bury the Nifter, and it was getting dark, and they didn't have time to go into the Beis Olam itself. They would bury the mace on the road outside the Beis HaKvarais, under a tree. Now, if we know for sure that the kever is under one of the branches of the tree, so there is no ohel by standing under the other branches. But if we are in doubt, we cannot rely on the Kusi to tell us that the kever is not under the branch that we are standing, for perhaps it is, and the Kusi is himself in doubt, but he doesn't care about doubt. We care about doubt. Even though it's a Sofik Tumah Rishus HaRabim here, but Rabbanan were Geiser Tumah even on a Sofik Tumah Rishus HaRabim, and the Kusi doesn't care about what the Rabbanan were Geiser in a case of a Sofik. So he tells you the Nifter is buried under a different branch, you can stay under this branch, and really it's a Sofik, and therefore we cannot rely on him in a case of a Sofik where the Rabbanan made a gzera, because he is not careful in that halacha. Anything he's not careful on himself, the Mishnah taught us, we cannot rely on him. The Gemara now explains the next word of the Mishnah, parois, the protrusions, the snan. We learned in that same Mishnah in Olos, Perek Ches, Mishnah Beis, the way we have the Girsa in our Gemara and the way Rashi with Agos Habach have the same Girsa, Avon and Prois Hayotzit Managader. We're speaking about stones that protrude from the fence. We know that the Nifter was buried under one of the stones that protrude. And the question is, are we allowed to stand under another protrusion? The Kusi tells us that the protrusion that we are standing under, that's not where the mace was, so we cannot rely on him. The Gra takes out the word avonim because the actual text of the Mishnah in Olois is prois hayotzim min hageder, protrusions that come out, not necessarily stone protrusions. But be that as it may, the Mishnah is telling us a halacha that a kusi is not believed for those protrusions because he could have a doubt which protrusion the mace was buried under, and he does not care about Sofek Tumah Rishus HaRabim, that is Tamei Mida Rabbanan, even though it's a doubt. And therefore, he will tell us that the protrusion that we are standing under is okay, when really he doesn't know, and he thinks it's in a, the mace was a different protrusion, and really the mace is buried under the protrusion that we are standing. So since he does not keep the halachas of Safik Tumah, he's not believed on it, and therefore we cannot rely on it. Now the Gemara explains the case of the Mishnah of Beis HaPras, which is again a Tumah de Rabbanan that we discussed in the Mishnah, which the Kusim are not Nizarhin, and therefore they are not trusted. Rav Yudah Mishmuel says, a halacha concerning the Beis HaPras. We should point out that Rashi, five lines before it gets wide, tells us that the word pras is Lashon Dover Shavar Uporos Hashem Shenifrasu Atzamais. Since we are talking about a field which was plowed over in which there was a kever, and we're worried that the plow scattered the bones all over the field, and the bones became broken. So the Lashon of Beis HaPras, Rashi is telling us, is that the field has in it broken bones. The Aruch Lanier points out that the two halachas that we're going to learn now, starting with Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, are to prove to us that this whole Tumah is Mid Rabbanan, because we're going to learn two heterim, and these two heterim would not be viable if it was a Tumah deraisa. The first heter said by Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is Minapeach Adam Beis HaPras V'Hailach. A person is allowed to blow as he walks through a Beis HaPras and thereby walk through. As Rashi points out, we're not worried here that there's any busser, any flesh of the mace around the field. We're only worried about bones, broken bones. Broken bones are mitame etzem kisa'ira, like a barley. And that shear is not mitame ba'oil, it's only mitame with maga and hesed, only by touching or moving it. So therefore, if he blows on these fragments of the bones, by blowing on it, it will sweep away these small fragments. If he sees a large piece of a bone, then he will not walk over it. However, if we're only dealing with these small fragments, he can blow them out of the way, and therefore he will not touch them or move them with his foot. He will not have tuma through maga or through hesed. Maybe there's a fragment of a bone under the ground, but we're saying that the shear of Se'ira is so small that it's not metamed ba'oil, it's only metamed b'magma masa. So it doesn't matter if he walks over that fragment that might be right under the surface of the earth. And therefore, it is a special heter, since it's only a tumah d'rabbanan, that one can blow and then walk through. If it would be a tumah d'oraisa, one could not rely on this heter. Rav Yehuda bar Ami Mishmei Rav Yehuda Amar Beis HaPras Shenidash Tor. If a rabbin walked through a Beis HaPras and they trampled on it, so by their trampling, they took that se'ora, that etzem kesora, the barley amount of bone, and they crushed it, they made it less than a barley. So now it's not even metame through maga or through hesed, and therefore if it is a place where the rabbim has walked through, one is allowed to walk through in that path which was trampled on by the rabbim, because we only have to think that there is less than a se'ora here, and therefore it is mutter. Tohar, it's not metamet rumagu masa. Again, this is because we're talking about a tumah d'rabbanan, and that's why we have these two heterim, and that's also why the kusim don't believe in the tumah d'rabbanan, and therefore they're not believed to tell us that here is the 100 amos by 100 amos of the Beis HaPras, because they have no nemanis. Continues the Gemara of Tana, we have learned concerning a Beis HaPras, HaChayrish Beis HaKvoros, if somebody plowed over a cemetery, HaRez De'ois, the Beis HaPras, he is making it into a Beis HaPras, and it will have a Tumah D'Rabbanan, V'at Kama Hu Oise, what is the extent that there will be a Tumah D'Rabbanan of a Beis HaPras that were choshes, that there are scattered bone fragments in this area. Meloi mana, a furrow's length, mea amma, 100 amas square, Beis arboa soin, a tract of land in which 4 soin of barley seed can be sown. Rashi says, in Divrei Maskil Beis arboa soin, that this is 100 by 100, and we're learning it out from the Chotzer of the Mishkan, which was 100 by 50, and that was a Beis HaSoin. That was a place where 2 soin of barley seed could be sown. And therefore, if it's 100 by 100, it's a place where 4 soin of barley seed can be sown. However, Rabbi Yossi says that the area of Beis HaPras is Chomesh. It's a place where 5 soin of barley seed can be sown. And the Rambam, the Pirush HaMishnayos, learns that this is, according to Rabbi Yossi, 111.75 by 111.75. Continues the Gemara, V'loy Mehemni, are you telling me that on Beis HaPras they're not believed? V'atani we learned in Braisa. Sadish Avid Bakever, a field in which a kever was lost. We don't know where the kever is. And the Gemara in Moed Katan Rashi brings down on the second wide line in Daf Hey Amid Beis that there are really Gimel Beis HaPras Hey. There are actually 3 Beis HaPras. One of them we have already learned where a plow went over a grave. But here we are now learning the second type of Beis HaPras, and that is a field in which a kever is lost. We don't know where it is. So the Beis HaPras, which comes from the word pras, broken, doesn't apply to this case. But we borrow the same terminology that the Rabbanan made in Isser over the whole field, that there is here not only Maga and Hesed, as in the first Beis HaPras that we have been dealing with until now, but actually there is a Shash of Tumas Oihel, because we're dealing with a whole intact Kever, which the whole field is considered Tumah, because maybe the Kever is anywhere in the field. So The Braisa says that this field where a kever was lost, Nemen Kusi Lomer, Kusi is believed to say, Ainchum kever, there is no kever. He's not believed on Beis HaPras. No, Lefisha Ainoi Meyed El Al Gufisho Kever. His edus is that there's no kever here at all. The kever was exhumed. There is no more mace in the field. That already is a halach of a deraisa. Is there a kever here or not? And the mail on that, he is believed. Ilan shumesach ala aretz, the halacha of a tree that has a branch that is an oil over a kever. So neman loimer ein tachtov kever lefishen ameid el al gufishal kever. He is believed to say that there's no kever here whatsoever, because by saying that there's no kever, he's speaking about a din deraisa. Is there a kever here or not? And therefore, he is believed. So how do you say in our Mishnah, Beis HaPras, he's not believed? Or you also said that the tumah derabbanan of soichichos, overhanging, he's not believed, when we see from this price that he is believed. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, b'mahalichu ba al pnei kula. It's speaking about over here where he walked around the entire field in the case of Sada Shavad Bakever. Or in the case of the Elon, he walked around the entire tree under all the branches. So here it's no longer a suffix. Here it's vadai, because if there would be a kever here by walking all over, he definitely came in contact with the kever. He definitely went under the branches over the kever, which is under one of the branches. So in such a case, when he tells us that there is no kever here, then he is Naaman, because there is no suffix here anymore. If there would be a kever, he would be Vaday Tomei. And therefore, by him saying there's no kever here, we're able to believe him because he's not relying on any doubt. However, in the case in the Mishnah, in those cases with Beis HaPras and Soichichos, over there it's speaking about where it's a suffik and it's Asur Midrabbanan, he didn't walk around the whole field. And Mimela there, the halacha is that he is not believed. As the Gemara, Yehochi Maila Memra, as Rashi explains, if we're speaking about a case where he walked around the whole field or he walked under the tree under all the branches, then we're not speaking about a case of suffik, we're speaking about a case where there would be a vadeitum. Vadeitum is not a dindarabbanan, it's a dindaraisa, and on that they are believed. So the Gemara answers, Ma, the same Ritsua Nafka. I would think that maybe there is a piece of land that is coming out from, a strip of land is coming out from the land that we see him walking on. And we could say that maybe really he didn't walk over every area. And on that strip of land that's coming out from the larger area, he was soimach that the mace maybe is buried over there. And maybe he is relying on a suffix. And therefore we shouldn't trust him. Kamash Malan, by the fact that we see that he walked around the entire area that we are aware of, so we can assume that there is no other Ritsua that is sticking out. And therefore, he's believed, because then it is no doubt anymore that if there would be a kever here, there would be tuma, and that's a din d'oraisa, and on that he is believed. We're not choshesh that there's a ritzua sticking out. Continues the last part of the Mishnah, zeh haklal, the Mishnah said a klal, whatever a kusi is choshed on, he is not believed. Zeh haklal, dover shechashudim boy ein nemanim olav. Now we know there is a rule that wherever it says in the Mishnah zeh haklal, it's adding something else. And that's what the Gemara adds. Zeh haklal asuyemai, what are you adding? What other halachas is a kusi not believed in? Lasuye tchumen, this comes to add the halach of tchumen. As Rashi says, tchum Shabbos, how far a person can walk out of his city, that din is derabbanan, and a kusi is not believed to say until here is the tchum Shabbos. And since he doesn't believe in dinim derabbanan, so memela, he's not neman. And yayin nesach, yayin, which is poured out to the avodah zara, that's a din daraisa, that he would be believed on. What the Gemara here is referring to, as Rashi says, the ein klusi makbid al magoy v'kham, the halacha that a goy is not even allowed to touch wine, which is only an issa derabbanan, that the kusim do not believe in, because again it's a derabbanan, and therefore they are not neman anything to do with yayin nesach to tell us that this wine was not touched by a goy, because since they don't believe in the whole concept of mage yayin, which is only a derabbanan, they are not believed. For all those who have finished Perek Dam Hanida, Hadrin Aloch Dam Hanida, Hadrin Aloch Dam Hanida, Hadrin Aloch Dam Hanida. Before we go on to the eighth Perek, we should just point out what all the Meforshim tell us concerning the sugi that we just learned about Kusim, that the whole discussion was Kusim at the time, the earlier time when there was a suffix, if they were Geri Emes, Geri Arroyas, but the later Kusim, the Gemara in Chulin Dav Vav Amid Aleph tells us that Chazal discovered that they were in fact Oivdei Avodah Zarah, and therefore they have a din of Akum, of a goy, completely legabi all dinim, they're not Neman for anything. Our Mishnah that was Mechalek between Dinda Reiser and Dinda Rabbanan, that was only the earlier Kusim who believed in the Torah, at least the written Torah, and perhaps were Geri Emes. So then they were believed on Dinei Deraisa, not Dinei Derabbanan. But the later Kusim that Vadai served Avodah Zarah had a din of an Akum, and therefore they're not believed for anything. We begin the eighth Perek, Haroya Kesem. This Perek will discuss a woman who found bloodstains on her body or on her garment, and it is speaking about where she is not margish, she does not have a sensation that dum came out of the makar. Begins the Mishnah, Haroya Kesem Abasar, a woman who found a bloodstain on her body, Keneged Beis HaTorfa, if it's in the area of the body which is opposite the Beis HaTorfa, Rashi says is Oisei Makam, this is from the uterus, from the Makar, and therefore it could have landed on that part of her body, then Tameya, then she is a Nido. However, if the dum is found in an area on her body that is not opposite the Beis HaTorfa, the dum could not have landed on that part of the body, then Tahira, then it is not dum Nidus, and she is Tahar. And now the Mishnah enumerates various parts of her body, whether she's tummy or not, al ikva, if she found the dam on her heel, val roish gaidla, or on her big toe, then tumea. And the Gemara will explain how the dam comes to these locations. Al shayka, if the dam is found on her thigh, val parasoyser, or her feet, mibifnim tumea, on the 2 feet, in the area where each foot is facing the other, in other words, on the inside of her feet from top to bottom, there the halacha is tamea. Then we say it came from the Beis HaTorfa and she is tamei. Mi bechutz, but if it's on the other side of each leg, on the outer side of the leg, then tahira valat stadin, and on the sides, meaning in the back, on top of her heel, all the way up, and in the front, on top of her ankle, all the way up, mikan umikan, from both sides tahira. In other words, from 3 sides she's tahar. It's only from the inner side, where the 2 legs face each other from the inside, that she is tummy, that we say that it came from the makor. Ra'as al chaluka. What happens if you saw a kesem on her garment? So then it depends. Minach hagar lamata tameya, if it was seen from her waist, from her belt, and lower down, then she is tummy. Here there's no criterion of being keneged beis hatarfa, because the garment sways, and therefore it's possible that it could have swayed any part of the garment under the Beis HaTorfa, and it will be tummy. Minach hagar lamala, however, if it's from the waist and above, then it's impossible to have come from the Beis HaTorfa, and then she is tahira, and we say that the dam came not from the Makor, but from somewhere else. Ro'asa al beis yad shel chaloik, if she saw it on her sleeve of her garment, im magia keneged beis ha'tarfa tmei, as Rashi explains, if when she sometimes takes off her sleeve, it swings opposite her beis ha'tarfa, then she is tmei. The imlav, but if, for example, it's not at the bottom of the sleeve, which could swing under the beis ha'tarfa, but it is near her shoulder, so then she is tahira, because that dam is not coming from the beis ha'tarfa. If she removes her garment and she covers herself at night when she goes to sleep, then kol makom shenimtza by kesem tameya, then wherever the kesem is found, she is tamei, because we say during the night when she's tossing and turning, the garment moves around, it is chozer, and therefore it is tamei anywhere where the kesem is found, because it, even if it started on top, it could have flipped over to the bottom, facing her beis ha'tarfa, and it is damnitis. V'chein bepulyas, the same as with a shawl that she was wearing, unless it's tied around her head when she's sleeping. But otherwise, if it's loose, then it could have wound up under the beis ha'tarfa, and therefore it is tamei. Begins the Gemara, Amr Shmuel, says Shmuel, Batka Karka Olam, if before sitting down on the ground of the earth, she checked the ground and there was no dam there, V'yashva Olea, and then she sat on that place, Umatza Dam Olea, and when she got up, she found blood on that piece of ground, Afal Pikein Tahora, even though it would seem evident that it's coming from her, she is still Torah, there's no dam nida. Shenemar, we learn it out from a pasuk. The pasuk says, in Vayikra Perek Tezvav, pasuk Yates, V'isha kisiyya zava dam yiyya zayva bivsara. So we learn out from the word bivsara, achetargish bivsara, until she feels the dam coming out in her flesh. And if she doesn't feel it, she is Torah. And the Gemara's Havamin is that Shmuel is of the opinion that she is completely tore, both midoraisa and midorabanan. Later on, the Gemara will show that, of course, Shmuel holds midorabanan, she's tummy, but we're speaking on a deraisa level. Ask the Gemara, how can you learn this thing from the pasuk bivsara? Hai bivsara miboy leisha metamod mibifnim kebivichutz. There's a halacha that we learn out that even if dam nidus does not flow to the outside, if it remains inside the vagina, it has a halach as if it has gone outside and she is tamei. And we learned this out from the pasuk bivsara, even if the dam is still in her flesh. So how can I use the same pasuk to teach me that she's only tamei midaraisa with hargasha? Says the Gemara, imkein lemakra babasar. We could have said dam yezayva babasar. Why did it have to say bivsara? My bivsara. Shemami no achitarish bivsara. So we can use that same word since it has the extra mapik hay at the end of the word, which is not necessary. So we can learn it both for the halacha that she is only tamei if she's margish, and we can also learn it for the halacha that she's tamei bivnim kibivachutz. As the Gemara, v'akatim v'boyle, bivsara v'loy b'shvir v'loy b'chaticha. The din is that it's only when she's margish it in her flesh, and not when the dam is within a shafir, which is an undeveloped embryo, which has no bones or sinews or flesh. It's in a sac, and if the dam is there, then she is tar. It's not considered dam nidus. Or bechaticha, it's in a formless mass, a piece of flesh. If the dam is inside that, again, she is not a nida. So we need the pasuk to teach us that halacha. Answers the Gemara, Tarti Shmamino, we learn both dinim, as the Run explains, that really both of these dinim, that she has to be margish, and halacha, bifsar, v'loy b'shafir, v'loy b'chaticha, are the same halacha. What is the reason why dam in the shapir or the chaticha is not dam nida? Because she's not margish it when it goes out of her body. And the halacha is she has to atche targish b'vsara, and since it's inside the shapir or the chaticha, and she is not margisha, therefore it is not damnita. So both of these halachas are really one halacha. So learns the run. Tashima, coming here, we learned a mishnah further. At the beginning of the ninth parak, on Daf Nun Tesamit Bey, so Isha Shehi Oisa Tzerachel, a woman who was, Rashi says she was Matelas Mayim, she was passing urine, Veroas Adam, and in the urine she saw blood, Ramei Roimer, Imoy Medes Tamea, if she stands up while she was passing water, then we say that it is Damnidus. Although usually there is no dam nidus in the mei raglayim, but we will say it is tamei in this case, that it is dam nidus, as we will soon explain why. Ve'im yoyshaves tahara. However, if she passes water while she is sitting down, then we say it's dam from a maka. It's not, it's dam in the urinary tract. It is not dam nidus, and she is tahara. Ask the Gemara, what's the case here? Hechi dam ida argisha, if she felt the dam as it was coming out, yeshava samay tahara, why is the halacha that if she was sitting down when she was attending to her needs, why is she tahara? She should be tamei because she was margish. Ela lav la argisha. So we have to say that this mishnah is speaking about that she was not margish. Uktaniya metis tamei, and yet we learned in the reisha that if she was standing, she is tamei. It's a kashan shmul who says that the isha cannot be tamei with tumas nida unless she's margish. Here she's not margish and she's still tamei. Answers the Gemara, loilam da argisha. Really, she was margish. Since this dam was found in the urine, we can say that perhaps she was margish something else. She wasn't margish dam. She was being margish the mei raglayim. So now it depends. I met this, if she's standing up, so as Rashi explains, this shows that her bladder was very full and she couldn't wait to sit down and she had to pass urine standing up. So because of the pressure of the bladder being so full of urine, hadr mei raglayim lemakor. So we say that the mei raglayim backed up till the makor, va'aisidam, and blood came from the makor, and that's why she is tamei. But the yosheves, if there was not this pressure because she was sitting down and passing urine that way, then it is tahira because it did not back up to the mekar, and therefore it is tahar. Tashma coming here. Eid shahaya nasa in tachas hakar, the eid bedika. The cloth with which she checks herself was put under the pillow, v'nimtza all of dam. And she found dam on it, im agol tahar. If it is round, it is tahar. Because that's not the derech when she checks herself to find it round on the eid bedika. But v'imashich, but if it is elongated, that is the derech, and then it is tummy. Ask the Gemara, hechi dummy, how is it speaking about here? Ida argisha, if she felt the dum coming out, then ogula my tor, then it makes no difference, even if it's round, why should she be tor? She was margish, she should be tummy. Elalav, we have to say that this Bryce is speaking about the loy argisha, she did not feel the dam when it came out. And yet, uktani mashach tami, we learned that if it is elongated, it is tami. So it's a question on Shmuel. Shmuel says that she cannot become tami unless she's margish. Here we see that she was not margish and yet she's tami. Answers the Gemara, loy lam da argisha. Really, this Bryce is speaking about that she was margish. The aim my hargosh is eidavoy, but I can always be toilet that she felt something else. She felt the bedika cloth. She didn't feel the dam, she felt the bedika cloth. So then it depends. If it's mashach, if it's elongated, then vadi megufa asa. Then I say that it certainly came from the guf. I don't have to be tola that it was the hargosha of the aid, but rather it was the regular hargosha of dam, and she is anida. But ogo, but if it is round, then tor, then I'll say that which she was margish was the aid itself that she felt, and kesem is in fact tahar. Tashma coming here, nimtza al shaloi, if after the bia he checked his cloth, and he found dumb on his cloth, tamein. Then they are both tummy. She's tummy as a nida, and he's tummy as a boiled nida. The chayav and bekorban, since they did this accidentally, b'shaygeg, they're chayav a korban chattis. Nimtz al shalah, if she found the dam on her eid bedika, so then asyam, if it was miyad, there's a Greek word which means immediately. If she checked herself immediately after having relations with her husband, then the halacha is tamein. Again, they're both tamei. She's tamei because of tumas nida, and he's tamei because he was boiling nida. Since it was done b'shoyi, v'chayovim b'korban, they're chayav b'korban chattis. Nimtzal shalalach zman. However, if she only checked it after some time, she didn't check it immediately, then tamei and misafik, they're both tamei. However, uptur min a korban, they're potter from a korban, because we do not know for sure that they were over an avera to be chayav a korban chattis. Now the Gemara asks, heichi dami, how is this speaking about Ida argusha, if she had argusha, so lachas man amai patur min a korban, why are they potter after, if she checked it not right away, why are they potter min a korban? If she was margish, then that itself indicates that she saw dam nidus, and they should be chai of a korban. El alav d'loyagisha, must be speaking about that she was non margish. Uktani, and we learned, nimtzal shalah asyam tmei and chayovim korban, and yet we learned that if she checked herself right away, even though she was not margish, she's tummy, and she's chai of a korban, it's a kashan shmul, who says that a woman cannot become tmei with tumas nida unless she was margish. Answers the Gemara, loyalam da argish. Really, it's speaking about she was margish. But you're asking me a question, if she was margish, then even lachar's man, why is she potter from a korban? Because I have something to be toiled on. The aim of hargosha shamish have, I can be toiled that perhaps she felt the aver tashmish of her husband. That's what she was feeling. She wasn't feeling the dumb nidus itself. If it's asyoim and it happened immediately afterwards that she checked and she found dam, then we say in fact that it was dam of hargosha. But if it happened later on, then we say perhaps that she was margish, the aver of the husband. Toshma, coming here, we learned in a brayse, and nimtza sato oimer, it comes out that you say gimel sveikas beisha. There are three different categories of sveikas concerning dam nidus of an isha. The first two categories concern a kesem. Al besor, if she finds a kesem on her flesh, then sofik tami sofik tar. We're not sure if it's a kesem that's tami or a kesem that's tar. The halacha is, if it's al besara misofik, we say it's tami, it's dam nidus. Al chaluk, if she finds it on her garment, sofik tami sofik tar, and again it's a sofik whether it's tami or tar. So the halacha is tahar. Uve magois, uve hasetois, this third case has nothing to do with the kesem, but rather, as Rashi explains, this is speaking about a woman who's always in a state of a suffix nida. She has no regular period. She has no vest. As Rashi says, uregila liros tadir, and she's ruggle to see dam at any time, and she touched taharis or kachim, as the Meraimi Sada explains, that this whole halach is a chumra in kachim and taharis, but it does not make her usher on her husband. But concerning taharis or kachim, if she touched the taharis or kachim, or she moved the taharis or kachim, so then it says in the Braisa, halach achara roiv. We go after the roiv, and the Gemara in the Havamin understands this to mean that if roiv of her day she is seeing dumb, then we will assume that she touched the taharis or kachim in a state of seeing dumb, and they will be tamei. My holach acharoiv. The Gemara asks, in fact, what is meant with this expression, holach acharoiv. Lav, does it not mean imroiv yamat man? If most days she in fact sees dam nidus, so then tameya, then whatever she touches or she moves, we say probably when she touched it or moved it, she was experiencing dam nidus va'afagav deloyargisha, even though she was not margish, because if she was margish, then there would be no question, of course, that whatever she touches is tamei. So it must be speaking about she was not margish, and yet we go after roiv, and if roiv yomer tamei, and then whatever she touches or moves is tamei. So this is a kasha again on Shmuel. Shmuel says that she's not tamei unless she's margish, and here we see even though she's not margish, she could be tamei. The Gemara answers loy. It's a different roiv than you said. It's not that roiv of her days are betumah. Loy im roiv yomer bahargosha chazia. If most of the days, whenever she saw dam, she had hargasha. So then we say, whatever she touches is all the time is tmeya. The aim or argish of lavadaita, because we say that she was in fact margish, but she wasn't aware that she was margish. But in fact, she did have a sensation, but she was distracted. She was thinking about something else. She didn't realize that she had this hargasha. If most of the times, whenever she sees dam, she does have hargasha, then we assume she had hargasha this time as well. But Shmuel insists, and he still maintains his mahalach, that she's only tamei with hargasha. In tomorrow's shir, we will review the words of this brisa and go through the various cases, the various sfeikas that the brisa has brought down.